Hey, hello. Welcome to the Traveling Farm Museum. In this podcast series, artist collective The Outsiders take you on a journey of discovery along remnants and new developments in the field of ecology, agriculture and heritage in and around Leidse Rijn, Utrecht. Where 30 years ago the cows were grazing in the meadows, now the largest suburban neighborhood in the Netherlands is where more than 80,000 people have found their home. In this podcast series, we bring together different voices of farmers, artists, and residents to reflect on our local food system and culture.
Hi, I'm Che Blanco, architect and game designer interested in food landscapes.
Hi, I'm Asia Komarova. I'm an artist and a chef.
I am Merel. I'm an artist based in Utrecht and I love birds and plants.
With this museum, we would like to show you what influence our way of farming and the design of our food system has on the climate and on our planet. We want to learn together with you how we can use specific farmers' knowledge and skills to prevent decline, to imagine a better world, and even to create one right away. In this fourth episode, we go on tour to Moestuin De Haar. The podcast starts at the entrance of the garden. It is spring, and a group of 15 visitors of the Traveling Farm Museum gather around our mirror-like mobile farm installation. They receive a special gift, a jar containing the collective turnip kimchi. This turnip was 3 months ago planted by Simone, the farmer of Moestuin De Haar, and harvested and fermented by Mari from vegan restaurant Casvio. Simone explains to the visitors how this project started and what it means to work in a community-supported agriculture.
Hi everyone, I'm Simone. I'm the tuinder. So here in Moestuin De Haar, it's a self-harvest CSA garden. CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture. People come here every week, approximately 30 weeks a year, and they harvest their own vegetables. So they buy an oogstaandeel, a share in the harvest, at the beginning of the year, and then they can harvest the season long everything that we have to offer, which is basically vegetables and herbs, sometimes a little bit of flowers, sometimes a little bit of fruit. And the first year we had 75 oogstaandeelhouders, shareholders, and this year we have 150 shareholders. This year as well, we've started our flower garden, so people can pick their own bouquet of flowers, which is what you see behind there. And a little bit over there. We'll walk around a little bit. What you see here is we have 60 to 17 different vegetables, about 30 different herbs, and lots of flowers going on. We work organically, even though we're not SCHAL certified, so we are not organic officially, because I don't need a certification to tell my story. You could just ask me. I'm around every time people come here to harvest, so people can just ask me any questions they have. So we work organically, which means we don't spray any herbicides, pesticides, and we buy only organic plants and seeds.
Are there other gardeners around you in this area?
There's an orchard behind the wall over there. So that's fruit trees. There's more to that direction. There's an organic meat farmer. There's the geitjesboerderij. I don't know. The goat farm. Yeah, the goat farm. There's quite a lot happening in a small area. We've somehow grouped together. I don't know. But that's where the castle is. You hear the event, they have an Italian fair going on at the moment. So there's the castle. In winter you can see it, then there's no leaves on the trees. And surrounding the castle is 55 hectares of a park. And rose garden and a beautiful place it is.
How would you compare your garden with other community-supported agricultural gardens?
No, yeah, so there's community-supported agriculture gardens like this that have different systems. So either you pay per person in your household, or you pay for an amount of harvest. So I chose for an amount of harvest. So one share is on average 5 vegetables a week. And I don't mind if you share it with 1 or with 10 people in your household, or not your household. And some other gardens you pay per head in your household, and then you can harvest whatever you need.
What is it happening seasonal?
So people come here once a week and they collect their share, and we go with the season. So starting, it's usually a smaller harvest, so maybe 3 vegetables, and then we work up when the soil heats up and when the weather changes, and the harvest will be more plentiful, and then in the fall things will slow down again. This year we built 2 really big greenhouses there in the back. They're polytunnels, which means we can start a little bit earlier, and which means we can go on a little bit longer in the season, so we can extend the season a little bit, which is great.
How big can this garden be? How many shareholders?
Yeah, we'll see as we go. What I think is we can go to 250 easily with the land that we have. We have 15,000 square meters, which is 1.5 hectares. And right now we don't use all of it. This is because we are still really working on building our infrastructure. So in fall 2019, this was just a paddock, a weiland. Just grassland, meadow, yeah, meadow. So no electricity, water, no buildings, no entry, no fencing, no polytunnels, no system underground, which is our watering system, irrigation, that's the word, yeah. So last year we started with the basics. We needed irrigation. We have water to that side of the garden, and we have a pump that pumps it up, and we have 1,100 meters of tubing in the ground, which distributes it. With no means of watering it, we wouldn't have had a harvest in June, July, and later, or very little. Or you need a lot of people with a lot of buckets.
Well, Malik, you can call him now.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, last year we started creating 9 fields that you see here. So we have 1, 2, 3. In the middle is our Middentuin. It's where we have our herb garden, flower garden. It's a place where you can sit on a bench and chill. And then the 8 fields around it are all our vegetable fields. And we do crop rotation, yeah. Which means that you don't grow crops in the same place year on year. But we rotate. So the potatoes are here at the moment, and next year they'll probably be over there. And we do that in a way that the plants support each other. So for example, we have the beans over here. It's everything from broad beans to sparsibone to peas, those kinds of things. They collect nitrogen from the air and put it in with their root systems. And when you pull up the plant or you let it compost at the place where it's grown, that nitrogen will stay in the soil. So what we do is in the year after that, we plant all our pumpkins, squash, everything that needs a lot of nitrogen, corn, to grow. So they support each other. And then you have that they make good root systems. What comes after that, the year after that, needs loose soil with lots of air in it. So you try to create a system where the cropping supports one another. We try to disturb the soil as little as possible. So we have a really small two-wheel tractor. And we do most things by hand, but that helps us to prepare our beds and to do a bit of weed control.
How does maintenance work?
So when you are a shareholder, you don't have to work in the garden. And when you work in the garden, you don't have to be a shareholder. Say again? So we have lots of people who don't want to buy a share, but do want to be part of the community and work here in the garden. And the other way around, like a lot of people who come here and harvest, but don't want to do the work or not often. So I leave that up to them. What I do is I send a datumprikker, planning the tool, and people can sign up for working at the garden. So it's every Monday, every Wednesday, every Friday, every Saturday. It just goes organically. There's always work. Let me say that. You know, it's never done.
Less than you need it.
No, I think we manage, but we're very fortunate to have many volunteers.
Okay.
A share costs 330 euros for the whole season. Yeah, and you get on average 5 vegetables and your herbs. But we'll take what the season gives us. So for example, this year the weather's kind of difficult. It's very wet and very cold, very too much hail and wind going on. I wouldn't describe this year's harvest as plentiful, but last year it was amazing. I suggest we're gonna go to the middle of the garden, take a little peek at the herb garden, and then we'll move to the polytunnels over there, and then we can have a little talk about the history.
How to make kimchi. A quick and easy, authentic kimchi recipe. What is kimchi? The collective turnip kimchi is spicy. Fermented turnip, kind of like sauerkraut, with flavors like garlic, ginger, and Korean chilies. Kimchi is alive, full of living bacteria to energize the body and aid digestion. What you'll need. This easy kimchi recipe makes enough to fill a large jar. Turnip, ginger, garlic, scallions, miso, daikon, Korean chili flakes. Preparation. Turnip in slices. Place it in a bowl and toss it with 1/4 cup sea salt. Fill the bowl with filtered water and stir. Soak it for 6 to 8 hours. Place a plate over the turnip to keep it submerged. After 6 to 8 hours, drain, making sure to save the brine, and rinse, pressing the liquid up, pressing the liquid up, pressing the liquid up, pressing the liquid up, pressing the liquid up. Make the kimchi paste. Mix Korean chili flakes with garlic, ginger, shallot, miso, and sugar. Peel and cut the daikon radish or carrot into match sticks about 2 to 3 inches long. Cut the scallions. Cut the scallions. Place the drained turnip along with the daikon, scallions, and chili paste into the bowl. Massage it a bit with gloved hands. pack this tightly into a large 2-quart jar. You want a good 2 inches of space at the top to catch the flavorful liquid that will release. Pour a little of the brine into the jar, just enough to cover the turnip. Add a fermentation weight to keep the turnip submerged. Cover with a lid and set somewhere cool and dark, like the basement, for 2 to 3 days. After 3 days, tap the jar to see if any bubbles rise to the top, indicating that it is fermenting. Taste the kimchi for tanginess. Continue to ferment for 2 to 3 more days. If you want it tangier or softer, then place in the fridge. Once you have it in the fridge, taste again. It will continue to ferment, but at a much slower rate. It will develop more flavor and complexity over the next 2 weeks in the fridge, and the spice level will mellow with time. It will keep for months on end in the fridge when the kimchi is submerged below the brine, getting better and more flavorful with time.
Could you tell us something about the history?
So, we're standing right next to one of the things that still shows the historic past of our garden. This is the wall which used to have a greenhouse all the way over there. You can still see the metal beams sticking out over there. So this was a glass house which grew grapes and peaches and things that need a hot climate. In 1898, the purpose of this garden was to produce fruit, herbs, vegetables, flowers and plants all year round for the people in the castle and around the castle. They created this glass house here with this wall and this fruit wall, and they created smaller brick walls on the fields to grow fruit as well. That's what our design has been based upon. Where the walls used to be is where our pathways are. It was rather big, and the other original structure from that era is the white and red fence. You can see it later when we walk back. That's over there. There used to be 5 of those. They are designed by Pierre Kuipers, who also designed the main station, train station of Amsterdam. And this is land owned by Natuurmonumenten. And they really wanted to preserve the culture history, the history of this place. And so one of the things that we're trying to do is not only feed people and have people get into contact with soil and their food and what's needed to grow food, it's also to show them this beautiful place and show them what was here and share the stories, basically. So this wall, as you can see, it's fallen down. It will be repaired this year, and we are trying to recreate a glass house next to it, but it's very expensive, so it's a process. But we'd love to see that structure rebuilt here.
How did it happen that you became a gardener?
Yeah. So all of a sudden I found myself behind a desk. And I'd known all my life that I wasn't... I'm not the person who thrives behind a desk. Doing work when you close your laptop and nothing physical has changed in the world, I find that very demanding. I used to work full-time, and then one day I drove past a garden like this one with sunflowers and happy people and baskets full of harvest. So I stopped and I asked about what was happening, and I started as a volunteer there, and that's when I fell in love. I saw that the farmer doing what he does, and that's when I knew like that's my profession. Now I found what I want to do. So I quit my job and I started Warm Onderhof, which is a beautiful school where they teach you all these kinds of things to become a farmer and what it entails. And now I'm here. So the Stichting has worked together intensely with Natuurmonumenten and the municipality, the gemeente, to make a plan that all the shareholders were happy about, which is awesome, because the gemeente knew exactly what they needed to do to make it happen. Natuurmonumenten knew, and the Stichting knew, and they all said yes. So then the Stichting found me, and we have been working happily together ever since. But yeah, it is really awesome. So the gemeente has really worked with us to give us the permissions that we need. Natuurmonumenten asks a very low rent. It's not the right word, but rent for this land. And in return, we make sure that we preserve the history of this place and we provide an educational place. So school classes can come here. We teach people about farming and about this place. And so that's what they get out of this, basically. Yeah.
Could you tell us something about the relation with the city and this garden?
So much land.
Yeah, I really don't know how we did that. To be very honest, we've been working here for not even 2 years. It's a lot of passionate people. Like the people from the Stichting, they are amazing and they spend a lot of time working. And then we have so many volunteers, really, who put heart and soul and work and effort and love into this place, which is awesome. And last year we did a crowdfunding. Together we raised 16,000 euros and we were able to build our townhouse. There's new housing coming close by. We have the city close by. It's on biking distance for a lot of people. So it works for a lot of people, I guess. And the good thing about community-supported agriculture is, I listen to the needs and wants of the community and I try to grow and create that. But on the other hand, they pay up front. So I can buy all my seeds and my plants and my compost and everything at the start of the year. So I get my income at the start of the year and I can pay what I need to create to do this. I try to switch it around coming years to have a certain amount of members, and you have your costs and you basically divide your costs over your members and that decides your fee, your price. So you're not a consumer here, you're a participant. Yeah, it should be balanced, because I try to be to create a duurzame plek, a durable, sustainable, healthy place. But that also means that I need a healthy income to be able to sustainably do that. But on the other hand, I have a Stichting, a foundation, who we work very closely together, and they support me financially the first 3 years to create this garden. So, for example, I don't pay anything for using this land. Which is awesome. Yeah. What also depends on the vision of the farmer, I guess, what kind of side business you want to do. I decided to open a self-harvest flower garden, and we have our stall where people can buy stuff. At the moment, we just don't have a surplus of harvest. So yeah, cucumbers today. So anybody wants a cucumber, it's in the market, in the stall. But once we have surplus harvest, that's where we sell it, basically. You know, 150 shareholders will be growing a bit in the coming years, just organically, not too fast. Especially not 100% growth next year. And together with making the flower farm grow, that will be a steady income. That's enough for hopefully two people. Yeah.
Simona, how do you see this place in 5 years? And how do you see yourself in 5 years?
Well, I can see myself still being here in 5 years. I knew when I started this that the first 2 years were just going to be hard. You know, creating all the infrastructure and all the comforts like drinking water and electricity and a bike rack and those kinds of things. And I can imagine it will become easier to have the garden itself mature. So now we have very young plants and more mature plants will give it a bit more structure, I think. And like more mature plants will give more flowers and it will just be more luscious, I hope. So we still have two big paddocks which are empty at the moment, which is this one here and it's the one over there. I think together they're like 2,000 square meters, which is quite a lot. We have all kinds of exciting plans to bring those back to life.
You are listening to the Traveling Farm Museum podcast. Stay tuned to find out about our tour calendar of 2022. In our next episode, we will have an intimate conversation with Mari Pitkanen, the creator of the collective Turnip Inchi and the vegan restaurant Casvio in the Mern. You will hear how this restaurant is more than just a place for dining, but a sensorial experience with food as a storytelling. The Traveling Farm Museum is an initiative of artist collective The Outsiders and Casco Art Institute working for the commons. With the Traveling Farm Museum, we invite everyone to join us. Come to a workshop, join a tour and discover Leitze Rhein and the surrounding area.
Traveling Farm Museum.
We would like to create a new stories about this area together with you, neighbors and farmers. These stories are then located in our Traveling Farm Museum and in our depot. For more information about our meetings, tfmdepot.nl. The collective turnip kimchi recipe piece was performed by Roberta Petzold in collaboration with Maxim Yesotaran in the music.